It's like Tom Brady on game night, and it might be more exciting than watching the draft. Glenn David's on the mic, and he's killing his craft. All the while doing it, he's making his fans laugh. He always finished first like Kansas City, finished last.
Studio 66,
having a blast, more so than the old show known as MASH. So dope, but hope there's no helicopter crash. Nope, the show's clean as soap, I'm a set of crap. Subscribe on iTunes to show support, or you might end up on the Shame Report.
Try not to embarrass yourself.
Wear a brown bag, as bad as it gets. Like walking offside, you ain't watching your step. That's worse than Seahawks in that uniform. Man, I'd be embarrassed to have it worn. Unlike the 49ers that David adorns. Raise your horns just like the Rams, and everybody rise up from out the stands. Tip your glass up and clap your hands. All for the Dave Demarchek football program. Ball's been thrown and now it's floating. Final seconds left, don't blow the whole thing. Don't step out of bounds, you'll lose the game. If you're tired of Dave, get the ring. Regardless, you're gonna be entertained. Sports forecasting has forever been changed.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 142 of the Dave Damashek football program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K. Ooh la and la. Great work by Karenastic. He sent that song over to us. One of our very favorites, a great citizen of the Czech Republic. Thanks for that, Karenastic. We'll put that up on the site for you. Like I say, NFL.com/Czech. And the good times keep on rolling, because look who is seated directly in front of us. Adam Rank is seated to my immediate right, as always.
Don't waste time on me.
Dan Hanzus from around the league is over there, but right across from me, from the Dallas Cowboys, wide receiver extraordinaire, Dez Bryant. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, how y'all doing? You know, nothing. Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure. No,
hey, that's
it's my pleasure. That is. He's a fan of the show.
He's a fan of the show, obviously.
First of all, how do we rate that song, Dez Bryant?
I give it a 7.
A 7. Okay. Yep. That's decent. That was honest. And that's what I like. The only thing you need to know here in 66 is the only rule we have is no jive. We don't jive each other. We shoot straight with one another. Is that cool?
That's cool. That's great. All right. That's how I roll.
Then explain this to me right out of the gate. Why are you guaranteeing to everybody you're gonna catch 2,000 yards worth of balls in 2013?
To be honest, I didn't guarantee anything.
I saw your tweet that you didn't guarantee anything.
Nothing.
I wanted to bust you on that.
You know, I just felt like, you know, it's possible, you know.
Sure.
It's something that I'm not, you know, trying to reach. You know, it's got to win games, the playoffs. You know, that's my whole goal. You know, it's a team sport. You know, I was asked a question, and I just answered it. You know, they just focused on that point, but hey, it's all good.
Here's the thing that people always leave out when they want to bust guys on their guarantees of success. What's the better answer? Is it to undervalue yourself? Like, I don't know, I'll be lucky if I catch 1,000 yards worth of passes this year. I don't know.
Yeah, like how do you, like, how do I supposed to answer that?
Yeah, right.
Right, so, you know.
Well, Jason Witten's better than I am, so I guess he might, you know, like, what are you supposed to say to that, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Dez is just one of those guys where no matter what you say, it's going to get blown into a big story? It seems like you're in that club now, which is must be maybe a tough club to be in, right? Where you're
right.
Always there.
Right, right. Man, I dislike it a lot, you know. But, you know, I live with it. I deal with it. You know, I love football. You know, that's what I focus on. I don't really too much care what anybody has to say. Hey, I'm a team player. I love this game. It's all about football.
Are you going to pull, I saw on Twitter, with a Richard Sherman. Are you going to pull a Richard Sherman, get after Skip Bayless a little bit?
Oh, no. I'm going to let Skip make it this time.
Yeah. Dez, real quick, hold up your hand for me. I want to try a little experiment here. Oh, yeah, let's not mess with the broken hand. All right, so your hand is each digit about an inch longer than what I've got going. Has it occurred to you that, you know, in 2011 – the difference between the Cowboys in the playoffs and out was the one, you know, the football lost in the lights by Miles Austin's eyes. Then last year, your fingertip barely touches the out of bounds line there. You could have been in the playoffs on a dynamite catch, by the way, too.
That's crazy.
Have you considered that, you know, if your hands were a little smaller like mine, you would have been in the playoffs, ergo, maybe the Cowboys should draft Damashek for 2013. How say you?
The NFL game is not played in Studio 66.
Steve Smith's opinion doesn't count here. We're talking to Dez Bryant.
Well, look, man, that was crazy. That moment was crazy. I sure thought I was in. Mm-hmm. When we look back at the replay, a finger inch. I'm telling y'all, man, this stuff is not designed. This is not designed.
It has to be, Matt. Do you think it should be something in the rules? It seems a little too ticky-tack that your finger, like, your entire body's in except your finger. I think you should be allowed. Like, that's a common sense dictates that's a catch.
Right, man. Our Jumbotron, it was just too much HD, man.
That's a good point. Yes, if we still lived in a standard def world, the Cowboys are in the playoffs.
Right,
something to think about. Something to think about. All right, we have to talk about this quickly because the NFL is excited to have you, and they're taking you on all the shows here. So our time is limited. Tony Romo, like I say, no jive from Damashek. I tell it to you. Tony Romo, as far as I'm concerned, has some dynamite games, but 6 years, he's had a long time to get this team deep into the playoffs. How say you?
I feel like he can do it. I feel like he's going to do it. You know, all of us behind the 100%. I love Tony. He's a great person and he's a great player. You know, I just feel like we just all got to come together, you know, probably a little bit more, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're working on. Coach Garrett does a great job with us, and you know, we're looking to do big things in 2013.
Is it fair to say, because you don't hear as much scrutiny as the Dallas mm-hmm. Cowboys are under, and you hear a lot of stuff about Tony Romo from nationally and I'm sure in Dallas as well, it's an indication that Tony Romo must be a good guy, a good locker room guy, must be a good teammate. He rarely ever, never throws anybody else under the bus for losses. It's not like, well, you know, Miles Austin should have caught that pass. It's always about him. Is that an indication that that's the kind of leader he is? Is that what we're missing when we analyze Romo?
I think so because, see, look, Tony is a great leader. You know, what he does in a locker room, a lot of guys don't see that, you know, outside of the locker room, you know, and it's like we behind him. You know, he the leader. We the troops, and, hey, we go do what we try to do what he want us to do at our best ability.
All right, last thing that I have for you is, you know, you have DeMarco Murray on your team. You may have heard he's a Oklahoma Sooner, you know. The kind of your big brother in terms of college football. I know the Cowboys are coming on, but facts are facts. Now you're trying to do everything. Oklahoma State, as a school, is trying to do whatever they can to catch up to the big brother there.
We will.
Explain this misstep to me. The black tie, help me out here. See if you, as a Oklahoma State representative, can explain what was going on here. Do you recognize this, Dez? Is this After Your Time? This is the song. Wait a second.
Oh, yeah.
Listen here.
I know what you're saying.
What is this?
Are you seriously going to
Why
do this
did they?
Right
what,
now?
What was the thought process that Oklahoma State decided we don't need traditional fight songs? We're going to go with that song. We'll play it in its entirety in a bit, Black Tie. But what? Try to make some sense of that because my brain can't wrangle what makes what that song's about there.
You know what? Hey, I'm a cowboy. I got to be behind it. You know, that song actually
That's good team talk. I like
hey,
that.
Hey, that song actually came out, you know, my last year there.
Yeah?
My junior year. And, you know, at first I was like, what are we doing? But, you know, hey, we had it. I got to deal with it. I guess I love it.
I feel bad for you because no matter if Oklahoma State does, even if they beat the Sooners head-to-head, it's going to take a lot of wins consecutive to overcome that song. DeMarco Murray always has that song in his hip pocket for you.
DeMarco Murray kills me every day about it. Hey, how many times have you beat us? How many times?
Well, you got better uniforms. All right, listen. Dez Bryant, a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you,
and,
too.
And I know you got to roll out of here. So good luck in 2013. I like the pieces that the Cowboys have added. The good news is Damashek thinks that the Cowboys are going to win the division. The bad news is my opinion doesn't really affect anything. But that being said, go off. Enjoy the rest of your day here at the NFL Network.
Hey, thank you all for having me.
And remember, tell the powers that be about the size of Damashek's hands. Remind them. Like, listen,
okay.
He catches one at the back of the end zone, puts his hand down, inbounds. All right.
I got you.
Just let it be known around the Cowboy facility.
I got you. I see y'all.
There he goes. The great Dez Bryant there. What about that, though? Look, DeMarco Murray, facts are facts. He has a decent fight song, at least, to claim. Black Tie, lay on the Oklahoma State fight. The Oklahoma fight song as Dez Bryant walks out the door there. Let's hear that one.
Don't do that to him while he's
walking. I'm not tormenting him. Facts are facts. Yeah! like that's a fight song, you see? Now, Black Tie, back to the We Are Cowboys Forever. Hokum. Oh, no.
Kind of sounds like the song that would come up at the beginning of the credits for a Scott Bakula romantic comedy.
Oh, Scott Bakula.
Some like early 90s forgotten film.
Scott Bakula.
Of all people.
Was he in any romantic comedies that you're aware of?
Necessary Roughness.
Like the back shelf of a Blockbuster somewhere in Reseda.
Oh, Bakula takes a lover in Necessary Roughness?
Of course he does. Course
who,
he does.
The kicker?
The English
Kathy
teacher.
Ireland? Oh, I forget. I can't really, honestly, I like bad movies, but that one's too bad
like
even for me to sit
on a motorcycle through. With the girl in the back going over the horizon with this song playing as the credits
why
come
back? I don't understand why you're stuck on Bakula.
It just seems like an early 90s song.
It's weird. Oklahoma State's color is orange, but it must make alumni red in the face. Desi Bryant certainly was red in the face
there.
I see
what you did there.
All right, listen. Let's now, Kibitz, turn that awful song off and go back to where we started this podcast. We were, as you could hear there, we just spent just a few minutes with Des Bryant, and we heard the song by Karen Astick. Now, that was good. How say you, Rank? A little long while Des Bryant sat there and listened to it, but still.
It was a little long to have a guest of Des Bryant's nature sitting there listening to
could've
it.
Could have gotten
the whole
an
time,
extra
like,
question
hey,
or three in.
Or six.
I didn't know it was so long. I had no idea. But it was good, though. Let's not diminish the quality of the music, right?
I felt there were some unnecessary shots taken at me.
I'm not surprised. So Adam Rank, NFL.com. He's got some good stuff up on the site as we speak there, including in honor of the NCAA and the Cinderella stories that we always see this year. It's Florida Gulf Coast. Rank is talking about the best Cinderella stories in NFL history. And then one of the scribes from around the league and also one of the stars of the Debate Club, which you can find on NFL.com, their podcast every week. It's Dan Hanzus. What's the poop with you, fella?
Nothing much, you know. We're just Matt Barkley's pro day is
in the books.
In the books, and I don't know. It was interesting watching. He looked a little beefy, I thought.
Did you go there, or you just watched on the tube?
I just watched on the tube. Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy set?
Not heavy set. Just a little beefy. He's a full figured man, I thought.
I think that his problem is that he throws a ton of interceptions, and there's no way around that. I think that's the issue for Matt Barkley. But I kind of. I didn't see the workout. How'd the arm strength look?
I guess the early word was that, you know, he looked pretty good, but on some of his deeper passes, the ball had a tendency to flutter.
Hmm.
So, you know, he's coming back from a shoulder injury that cost him the end of the last season.
I don't know what import this has, if any, but, I mean, it kind of is. You know, I don't like it when fans of teams say, oh, that's so my team to lose a game there. It's like, well, when you are marking things from 25 years ago as your proof that these things are recurring, you know, like my old man, a perfect one is, oh, he loves the Red Sox. Oh, my Bo Sox, they can never win in Baltimore. It was like, well, they do win sometimes in Baltimore, right? They've won a couple World Series in the 21st century while the Orioles have been mostly bad. I bet you they do. Same sort of thing here. USC quarterbacks are not successful, and it does have merit because in the Pete Carroll / Lane Kiffin era, they really haven't produced a single. For all the success, they haven't produced one good NFL QB, right? Matt Leinart. Well, Carson Palmer.
Palmer.
Am I talking about? Carson Palmer is the best of them. But it's still a little underwhelming when you consider the first-round picks that have been spent on Mark Sanchez and Matt Leinart and so on. A lot of hope for John David Booty back in the day. And now, Matt Barkley. Can he overcome this? Rank, how say you?
Yeah, I think you're judging him maybe a little bit unfairly. You say he throws a lot of interceptions. All right. I know 2 years ago he had 7 interceptions against 39 touchdowns. So that I don't know if that counts as a lot of interceptions. He had 15 this season and a season shortened by injuries. And I just feel,
well, that is a lot. 15 in college with a team that has a running game and almost every week has superior talent out there. You shouldn't be throwing 15 picks in, what was it, 10 games, 9 games? That's a lot of picks to be throwing around.
That's pretty good. But his line was a little bit deficient this year. So I think that the truth is somewhere in the middle between that 15 and the 7. He's probably going to turn the ball over. That's just the way the NFL is now. Quarterbacks do that a lot. I understand what you're saying. I don't really like to get into this whole thing of like, well, if this team has never produced a great whatever position, quarterback, then they'll never create a guy like that. I mean, Peyton Manning came from Tennessee. Who are the other great Tennessee quarterbacks? Is it there's nobody there? Or by the same token, would you look at Tyler Bray, be like, well, he's come from Tennessee where they had Peyton Manning. Of course he's going to be the greatest quarterback
well,
ever.
Listen, if there is any thread, the consistent thread is, though, it's the same era. These guys have, you know, in the last 10 years or 11 years, it's been one QB after the other who has had, you know, Carson Palmer is, like we say, the most successful, and that's not that's sort of damning with faint praise, isn't it?
You're saying the team should have backed away from Carson Palmer because before him there was no great USC.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just asking the questions. We're reacting to topical stories, Rank. That's what we're doing here. Let me ask you this. Speaking of topical stories, Florida Gulf Coast, everybody, the Cinderella story of this March Madness, the Indiana Hoosiers advance to the Sweet 16. I am looking forward to seeing them. But look, I admit, I'm a front runner.
College basketball again?
No, I don't. I think I have been consistent on this point. Look, the quality of play in college basketball has dropped off significantly from where it was a generation or two ago. I haven't wavered on that. It must be kind of like being a horse racing fan in the 50s or 60s, right? Or as these
probably
sports,
the same.
I think we're kind of watching without being too melodramatic.
How about boxing?
Kind of isn't well? Okay, that's a good one. I mean, look, we've just lived through, haven't we? Lived through the boxing, the relevance of boxing in our lives. It's gone from the biggest sport or among the biggest sports in the 70s when Ali and Frazier were fighting to Larry Holmes was kind of interesting and Mike Tyson gave it some life. But really, is boxing
right.
Particularly?
Oh, no. Where's
it rank? It can't be higher than the 9th or 10th most popular. MMA is probably more popular now, for what I know.
Wrestling's more popular.
I know this about here. By the way, as a side note, I figured out this weekend, finally, it should have been obvious to me all along. Here's why I haven't been able to get into MMA. There's something about it that I don't dig, and I realized it. It's the feet. I don't like men's feet, and that's all. It's all. I got to look at the feet, and then they're sticking them in each other's face all the time. Blech. Makes me want to puke while looking at it. No,
it's
thank
a little
you.
Too violent. Boxing.
It's not the violence. It's the feet. I don't like men's feet. Put those things away. Stop walking around in your sandals and your flip-flops right. And this, that, and the other. You're not a lady. The ladies do a lot for us. We as a gender can give them a little gift and not have our bare stinking feet out all the time. Ladies put makeup on and they do their hair. That's a lot of work every day for us. The least we can do, cover up your stinking feet with the hair and everything on them. Make me want to throw up.
Is it safe to say that your feet are almost never seen by people other than yourself?
No, and I don't find them. I don't think they're, relatively speaking, unattractive feet. Right. They certainly have no odor whatsoever. Never. By the way, I'm proud of that.
Are you sure?
Positive. Okay. Never once has there been a foul odor emitted from my foot.
So if we went down to the locker room and started rummaging through your shoes, they all smell pristine?
Yeah, that's fair.
Neutral.
I'll take that bet. Yeah, they will smell like leather is what they'll smell like because they're leather shoes. Now, back to Florida Gulf Coast. The Cinderella, there's something gnawing at me when I watch them. It's fun the way they look like a video game when you see them, all those insane dunks, like a video game. But I don't want to, I have a hard time summoning excitement for them. I don't want to root for them. They're not Cinderella. Their coach is a millionaire, and he's married to a supermodel, and they live by the sea. Like I said on Twitter, is he a basketball Cinderella coach, or is he a James Bond villain? Because
yes.
it has those elements to it, right?
Yeah.
He's a millionaire with a beauty on his side and an army of guys who fly around and do his bidding.
It's true. Did it become uncomfortable on Twitter when Rich Eisen responded to you saying, oh, do they have sharks with laser beams?
Right.
To which I said, I think you're getting James Bond and Austin Powers mixed up.
Yeah, you responded with a name I didn't recognize.
Matt Helm.
Matt Helm. Who's Matt Helm?
That was Dean Martin's character from the, it's got to be the 70s. It was Austin Powers before Austin Powers.
Oh, really?
Dean Martin did a series of...
A comedy thing?
Yeah. It was,
really?
It was James Bond spoofs where he played a guy named Matt Helm. And then
David Niven did that with Monte Carlo as well.
Right. And another guy on Twitter.
But he was doing James Bond, right? He was doing, he in fact played James Bond.
Yes.
Right.
And then Jimmy Colburn played somebody. I forget the name. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter. But Jimmy Colburn did a send-up of James Bond, too, probably before Matt Helm.
All right. Well, here's the biggest disappointment with Dez being in here so quickly and then gone is I solicited one of our listeners, Cooge4K, to send me a question to ask Desi Bryant.
Uh-huh.
He's a regular listener of the podcast, and so I asked him for what he would like to ask him. He says, what would Desi Bryant use to fend off a horde of zombies? Mm-hmm. I don't know. What is the correct answer to that? Are you a Walking Dead fan, first of all? Rank and or Hanzus?
I am, yes.
You are?
Yes.
And Rank?
I've never seen it.
Really? Okay. Hanzus? What do you think? Hey, let me ask you this about that show. Here's what's sticking in my craw, and if you haven't watched it, then just bear with me. It'll only take me 20 seconds. What is with the girl who the governor had her take her shirt off?
Yeah.
In the midst of living around zombies who are trying to eat you every day, that seems like a pretty mild offense, and yet it has become the overarching emotional trauma of the last 6 weeks of the show. Is she was put through something by the governor. He made her take her shirt off, and he stared at her bare bosoms. Like, yeah, that must have been traumatizing. You know what's traumatizing, too? When those zombies pinned me down and came within an inch and a half of biting my face off and turning me into one of them. That was worse. Why is this the big story? True?
No, absolutely true. Actually, I say that to my wife every time we watch it. It's like, the boyfriend, I can't remember what his name
is. He violated her.
Yeah, it's like, get over it, dude. Yeah. It's, you know, it could have been a lot worse, put it that way. Yeah. We don't need to dig in on it. But, I mean, the idea that he kind of let her off the hook after just, like, you know, taking her shirt off.
Did he put his mitts on her or anything?
No.
No, the bad guy in the show has her take. She's a young, reasonably attractive woman.
Are they still allowed to live in the prison?
That's why they're living in the prison now, but it looks like it's coming to a head. The season finale is.
But he didn't kick her out. All she had to do is take off her top.
Yeah,
no, she was taken prisoner at the other base at the.
And he stares at her. He ogles her. I mean, listen, that wouldn't be fun. And of course, if you did that in a corporate environment, you probably would get fired. But given that they're living in the zombie apocalypse, this, again, does not seem like it would be that bad a thing. Like, you'd probably forget about that as soon as the next zombie reached out and got a hold of you, you know? The losing of the shirt is not as big a deal.
But to go back to your question, my guess after meeting Dez and shaking his hand, because the walkers in The Walking Dead, their heads are very squishy. They're not made very well.
True.
I just use those two giant Dez mitts.
He doesn't need
the
help.
Crush.
You're saying he can just use his natural ability.
He can just push his hands together and crush heads.
We know he has strong hands because he was able to play with the broken finger.
Yes.
Catch footballs, you know, from an NFL-level QB. That must not be easy. So, yes, he must be very strong. But I've been working on – I'm not an impressionist, and yet I do not let that get in my way of doing impressions. Let me lay this one on you. Tell me, does this sound like the governor? Do you watch Black Tie Behind the Glass, by the way? You watch Walking Dead?
I do not. I do have a fun trivia question for you guys, though, after
he's
this.
He's going to start screaming about spoiler alerts, though.
I don't plan to watch it sometime.
I might watch it 5 years down the road. Spoiler alert.
I don't understand that you fancy yourself, Black Tie, as a cinephile. You love all the hip TV shows, and yet everyone I ever ask about, you've never seen.
The Walking Dead is not.
Walking Dead isn't popular?
It's fine, but I can't watch all of them.
I frankly don't love it myself these days. I don't care about the language. I'm not the dialogue is lame, but the action, and now I have to see how this thing plays out with the prison versus the town.
It's a terrible show.
But the governor, like, let me see if I can do him, like, Rick, I got my own people to deal with. I'm going to kill you if you don't stop, you know. Is that, let me try again.
Close.
Is that good? You don't know.
I'm just being encouraging.
Rick, my daughter got stabbed through the eye. I want you to understand that I'm going to kill you if you don't give me the prison. All right, I'm not good at impressions.
It's all right.
All right, trivia question.
Go ahead.
Which NFL player appeared in Walking Dead?
Hines Award.
Come on.
Oh, you got that. Okay. Another trivia question. Which other movie/TV show did Hines Award appear in last year?
Batman.
Okay. Who was the director of Batman?
Christopher Nolan.
How does that relate to this?
Christopher Nolan directed Inception, and that's a sound effect from Inception.
Which is called?
Inception?
The Inception horn. Come on, guys. That is Inception the horn. Most known, you know what? Used noise in all of movie trailers.
I can't that believe was, you derailed. So cool. It really, you really have to try hard. You really have to try hard to derail the worst impression ever put out for public consumption with something even lamer. That's really quite an achievement.
The Inception horn is not lame. It's overused. Agreed. Not lame.
Black tie. I've got my own people I'm responsible for.
That was better.
My daughter's died because the Michonne put her blade through her head.
So
that
enough
sounded
of that
like
show.
It was set up because we each answered a different part of that question. Where you're like, oh, Heinz Ward, and I'm Batman.
Yeah.
He said Christopher Nolan, and then Black Tie should have been like, it's the Inception horn. And
it is.
It would have been perfect. But
it
of
is a
it's
popular
Black-
conversation these days. This zombie business.
Oh, I thought you were going to say fire Black Tie.
That's also one of it's on the tips of all sports fans' tongues these days. I want to talk about.
I want that to be talked about on First Take.
How would you do in a zombie attack? How do you feel watching that? These zombies, well, you've watched. These are not fast moving zombies.
No.
And like 28 days later, those aren't zombies properly. They are the infected. So it's not the same thing. But they're much scarier brand of zombie because they move really, really fast. Yeah. They're scary.
We need something in between, like the Shaun of the Dead. Zombies.
Well, the Walking Dead ones, they just move slowly, but they come in packs, and then you have to fend them off. I think a lot of people like to make jokes at my expense, and I am sad to say they're probably right. In this case, I would be one of the first ones dead. I just wouldn't be able to outrun them. That's it.
Yeah, I think so.
Same thing as me in war. You know, if you sent me out to war, I'd be the first one. Be like, by year three of the war, they'd be like, hey, you remember that loudmouth Jew? Yeah, you go. Got killed the first day we came out here. Yeah, like, yeah. Remember that guy?
It'd be like the very first day.
Yeah,
like he was the first one. Yeah,
nobody would even remember. People would even wax nostalgic about me because I would have come and gone so quickly. Like, run! The other guys are coming! Run! I'd be like, ah! And that'd be the first one that get me right in the back.
Nobody even remembered your name. It was so quick.
Every veteran who survived would be telling stories to his grandkids when they were acting up. Like, I knew a kid like you in the war.
You and your mouth. You and your mouth are gonna get you in trouble. Reminds me of that loudmouth back. Back in the big war. All right. Now,
my question is: would you want to live? I mean, what you watch Walking Dead? Mm-hmm. These people they've set up shop in a prison by choice. Just take care of me right off.
I mean,
the bat.
Once I went into the third home and found that the TV wasn't working there either, that's it for me. I would give it a chance that maybe there'd be some TV that at least was getting basic cable.
Yeah.
But once I realized that was out too. Good night. What's the point?
What's the downside of being a zombie?
Really, I suppose there isn't one because you apparently can go a long time between meals.
Right.
And then
clearly, yeah. You guys haven't seen Warm Bodies, which I haven't seen either. But
of course not. of course. Let's play a game. Has Black Tie seen it?
It is a fun game. Have you seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, Black Tie?
No, I have not.
Dang, let us bet on that.
You've never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I'm not a big Indiana Jones fan. I'm just not. I'm sorry.
How could you? Well, how would you know if you're a big fan when you've never seen it?
It does not appeal to me in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you haven't seen it, so how can you possibly say that that's true? That's like saying I don't like pizza when you sound like one of my children.
No, pizza could appeal to someone who's never had it before.
You sound like my
children.
No, this is the exact conversation I have with my children. I will say, try some pepperoni on your pizza. No, I don't like that. Like, how do you know you don't like that when you've never tasted it? Same thing for
you. I got to say, your impressions are a little bit off.
Terrence
Newman, much better.
This is Jerry Jones. Can't wait to get you out here to be a part of these Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that is pretty good. We should have played that for Dezzy Bryant, but we only had him for about 90 seconds after the song there. But
glad you had that queued up and ready to go.
Yeah, well, mistakes were made, and I blame Black Tie.
Yes.
Now, what about, we'll talk football. We have time to talk. We're going to get into a blacklist, as a matter of fact. Yes, Black Tie?
Yes, we are.
You want to get into it right now?
Let's do it.
All right, because I'm interested, too, to hear what Rank thinks and what Black Tie thinks about your Lakers these days. Not very good.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Listen, if they, I've said it a lot, so it's becoming, you know, I might, and I just sound rhetorical, but I mean, come on. If they miss the playoffs, this is the greatest failure in sports history, in U.S. sports history, right? What team is a bigger failure? They can't get one of the – they're not one of the eight best teams in their conference? That's how bad they are with future Hall of Famers Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, and Kobe Bryant?
How many games have those guys missed?
Pau Gasol's going to the Hall of Fame? Doesn't matter. Four. I mean,
they got to play.
If you have four future Hall of Famers on your roster – and Ron Artest, Meta World Peace,
who's also out,
is not a Hall of Famer, but in his prime. Was
you gotta
pretty
love
good.
How Rank is so ready with the injury excuse.
Oh, I got another one for you.
He's out.
Antoine Jameson is on the cusp of a Hall of Fame sort of credentials. I don't think he's getting in. The point is, they have a lot of good players. You love what? What do you love?
Antoine Jameson, one of the 30 best players of all time.
I didn't
you're
say anything
crazy.
Like that. No, you're getting crazy, and you're making you're trying to pigeonhole me with a silly argument.
If they were all healthy and this was all going down like how it is, yes, I would be with you in concert.
So wait, so
that
Kobe
shows how defeated he is already.
So wait, Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard by any measure count as two of the top six or seven players in the league, right?
Dwight Howard's been playing hurt all
isn't
year.
Isn't that
he's
all?
He's not recovered from his back surgery last year. He's having problems with
his
shoulder this year.
I think Lakers Nation deserves to look in the mirror and ask itself why they beat up on this poor guy so much when it was clear in the summertime that he wasn't going to be right. The speculation was he might not be ready until late December, January. He was out there for the first game, and immediately, as soon as things turned sour, he smiles too much. Ridiculous. And here's
what happens when you play in a town like this where they expect you to win.
Listen, that is an excuse I don't care for in the 21st century.
Oh,
the idea
that
you
don't win, they use injuries as an excuse.
Same thing as Tony Romo. Like, there's no more pressure on anybody in sports than Tony Romo. He's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Guess what? I mean, all right, Blaine Gabbert is taking some slings and arrows in Jacksonville, too, and is getting pretty beaten up, and we hear about that. But if you remove that, which is probably the least popular franchise in the NFL, Jacksonville, almost any NFL team, the quarterback of the team is going to be destroyed if he doesn't play well. That's hokum. That's 20th century thinking, as though you have to be in – if you're in New York or L.A. or perhaps Chicago, you're much more in the spotlight than you are anywhere else. Not true. That's just simply not true.
No, because Dan even brought it up when Dez was sitting here, is that Dez is in that class of guys of no matter what he says, he's going to be vilified for it and it's going to be blown out of proportion. Same goes with Tony Romo. Anytime he does anything wrong, you look at his early career and you look at the career of Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning gets everybody makes excuses for him. Everybody was so quick. Peyton Manning doesn't play defense. He didn't give up those deep balls. They defend him tooth and nail all the time. But anytime anything goes wrong with the Dallas Cowboys, it's always Tony Romo's fault. And that
All right.
is the truth.
That inconsistency may exist, but as you know, Rank, of course, I put those two together. They both throw games away in the clutch. Tony Romo and Peyton Manning happen to share that nasty little trait. Manning's overrated. Ah, Dick Banks there putting a little sting into Peyton Manning. He apparently agrees. Yes. Dan Hanzus.
I just want to say about the Lakers, I just looked over their roster.
I was hoping it was going to be about zombies, but all right.
Wow. I don't buy – listen, you ready? Steve Nash, 39. Kobe Bryant, 34. Meta World Peace, 33. Pau Gasol, 32. Howard Hurt. Why is it a surprise that they're a 500 team?
Well, that is a fair point, and I think that Mike D'Antoni deserves – a large chunk of the blame here. I think that he tried to, classic square peg in a round hole, tried to force this team to play. Look, when Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol were both out there and healthy, the obvious way to try to beat these teams, everybody has a quick young point guard. That is what the league has become, is these dynamite, the best position, the richest position in the NBA these days is point guard. Everybody's got a lightning fast. I can name 10 great point guards, all-time great point guards that happen to be playing right now. The Lakers don't have one. Steve Nash is long in the tooth. what they do have going for them is 2 7-footers. Why have they not just consistently high load everybody, slow the game down? Mike D'Antoni, his old thing about getting shots off as quickly as possible, they should go the other way. It should be no shot before 16 seconds expires on the shot clock. Just pound everybody, grind everybody. That was the best chance they had of winning anything. But nope, not D'Antoni. And he loves to play that seven-man rotation. That's poisonous to a team that's as old as the Lakers. But anyway, the point is, I'm fascinated watching them spiral downwards and the excuses and the finger pointing and the Kobe Bryant nonsense of he acts like a jerk and Dwight Howard smiles too much and James Worthy and guys like that weighing in. Yes, he does smile too much. What then do you make of LeBron James and all the fun that those Heat are having? Boy, all those smiles are really killing that team, eh? Don't give me the stink eye, Rank. You know I'm right. Yes, cute. Black Tie.
All right, let's wrap this up really fast.
Please.
This season of shows.
Oh, good. Black Tie's here to put a bow on
it. Let's put a bow on it. This season shows.
Start the blacklist.
This season shows Kobe Bryant's limitations as a player. He's had a great individual season. But for some reason, he's never necessarily raised the level of a teammate. Steve Nash doesn't look like himself. You can say that's age, that's injury, whatever. Steve Nash doesn't even seem like himself. He's the usual fun-having guy on Twitter, yapping it up with fans. He's not that guy anymore. Pau Gasol, ever since he came to L.A., even though they won championships, he has not been the almost MVP player he was in Memphis. Dwight, injury is an excuse once again. That's another guy that if he's not getting the ball, he gets emotional, is not as into it, doesn't get rebounds. He's not himself. You need a coach like Phil Jackson who reigns in Kobe and his style of play and puts that to work. Right now, Kobe's playing the Kobe way. And no one.
Kobe plays an egregious lack of defense. It is amazing how bad he is defensively now. He just stands. I mean, it's horrible. But in his defense, for his bad defense, he is one of seven guys in a rotation there. He's an old guy now, relatively speaking, so he's got to take a blow somewhere out there.
They should be playing through Steve Nash. Let him run the show. Get the ball to Dwight. Kobe should just not be taking more than 21 shots. It's simple math. If you look at this team preseason on paper, you could come up with the way they should play. No, Kobe's taking 28 shots when he has three All-Stars as teammates. It makes zero sense.
Back to one thing before we get into the blacklist. To finish up my point about college basketball, is far worse than it was 20 years ago. I'm able to derive some pleasure as an Indiana University alumnus, but I don't think that I've portrayed myself as somebody who's living and dying with the Hoosiers right now. True?
True.
I'm allowed to enjoy them.
You've never really presented yourself as a diehard fan of any team.
Oh, please. All right.
If
we're done with that.
Is it wrong?
Of what team? Oh, in college basketball.
Of any team. No, I mean of any team you claim to cover.
Are you serious?
I'm with Bryant McKinney. I think I've made some of my leanings well known. Teams that wear black and gold, in particular.
How big of a Pirates fan are you?
I'm a Pirates fan,
but you're not. You don't live and die with them.
I'm excited for them.
You meander with them. So if the Steelers ever got into a run for 10 years where they were 6-10. I would expect you to behave the same way, where you're kind of like, whatever.
Look at what you root for. You root for these teams. You root for the Yankees and Red Sox is old news that they both try to spend and outspend each other. But the thing with I feel like, even though we're 8 or 10 years into the Artie Moreno era, how long has he been there now? 8, 10 years, right?
He took over after Disney.
They spend like that. Now the Dodgers spend like that. What we perceive to be this two horse race is, in fact, it's the big spender list is now much more competitive than it was a few years ago. No matter what, these hoity toity types, the bourgeoisie making deals with each other about Vernon Wells. We'll eat $15 million of that contract. Yeah, we'll take it. We can take a flyer for $6 million a year on this guy because it's peanuts to us. You think a team like the Pirates or the Royals could ever entertain being on either side of that? It's ridiculous, of course.
It's better off for
them. It's a different game. It's a different game. All right, listen.
Now, real quick, before we move too far away from hoops, Jonathan Warlick on Twitter wants to know who would win in a hashtag DDFP game of horse.
Me.
Okay.
We had one. Like, it was you.
Oh, did we?
Producer Chris Law of the Rich Eisen podcast.
Right.
I was playing, and you won it.
So I did win.
The last time we played, Damashek won.
Yeah.
I would beat you.
You would.
Yeah.
I don't go in philosophically for trickery. I don't like that garbage of people when they bounce it off the ground.
None of that.
Well, listen, some people think that that's fair game. It's a test of your basketball skills.
Yeah, I would beat you outside 20 feet.
Well, that's where I make my hay. You know where I'll take you?
Where?
To the foul line. I'll take you to the stripe.
Don't
the
take
charity.
Me to the stripe. That's my weak
I'll
spot.
Take you to the charity
Don't you take me
stripe,
there.
And I'll embarrass you there. You might make it early when the pretenders are going by the boards. When Black Tie goes out quickly, he has H-O-R before we bat an eye. You might hang around, but when it gets down to that E, and I take you to 15 feet away, then we'll see where you make your money.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that.
I don't
that.
Even know what that means, but still, I think you understand the spirit of what I'm getting at. I'll win. All right, Black Tie, begin.
The Blacklist. Black Tie reads current events. The Blacklist. Damashek and Wank if they're coming. The Blacklist. The Blacklist.
All right, guys, first up on the Blacklist today, Time recently released their 140 best Twitter feeds of 2013. First of all, why 2013 just started? What the heck? But anyway, NFL has made the list.
Good point.
Drew Brees, Vikings punter, and World of Warcraft plane Chris Cooley. Mm. Other notable sports figures to make the list, Serena Williams, Blake Griffin. Serena.
The odds of this making it in and not being cut out at about 0%.
Very slim, yes. Anyway, so who were you guys' hashtag favorite Twitter feeds?
By the way, this was taped on Monday. The reason it's coming out right now is because Black Tie had to go in and splice it up to take out all his mistakes.
That's actually good. I'll leave that in there. That's a good joke. I'll leave that in there.
I like Black Tie on Twitter among funny people. I think that, the usual suspects. Rob Delaney is very funny. I think that is his Twitter handle, right? Rob Delaney?
Yes.
Yes. He is the quintessential Twitter phenom because he was a middling stand-up. And I think actor, and then gets, just explodes on Twitter for his absurdity. Mm-hmm. And what does he have now? Does he have 100,000? 500,000 or a million?
He's grown,
I like the Sulk, too. Alex Sulkin, who's a semi-regular on the Rich Eisen podcast. He's a Patriots fan. He's hysterical. I think he's a Family Guy writer. I told him the last time I saw him in the hallways here that he won the 2012 award for best Twitter. Follow funniest oh, Twitter did. Follow yeah Jonathan Kimmel is very funny. I think he goes by Jonathan Kimmel. Brian Polk, another writer over at the Kimmel Show, is really weird and absurd and funny. And at Damashek, he has a lot of what Damashek does with his Twitter handle is infotainment. That's what it's about. It's part it's part mirth, but behind it is some real meat. Some real credible analysis of this thing called life.
Shame on you for that.
Thank you.
Go ahead there, Rank.
Do you follow any NFL players?
I sometimes follow Terrence Newman. He's a good Twitter follow. By the way, can I get up on my high horse and say this? Chris Kluwe and Brendan Ayanbindejo are to be hailed. They, at best, stand to gain nothing personally from their anti-DOMA. I saw what everybody's talking about, and I hesitate to get political, but the domestic marriage act nonsense that seems like the lion's share of America is against at this point, and probably the Supreme Court. But who knows? Either way, Ayanbindejo and Kluwe are to be hailed. Like I say, they get nothing out of this. So to take this stance, which is probably more controversial among professional athletes than it is among the average human being walking the face of the earth these days, I like it. So I applaud them, and the NFL, I imagine, does too. Anyhow, I'm sorry to get up on my high horse.
No,
I'm now
good.
Back off.
Because the only NFL player I follow is A.J. Hawk.
Oh, yeah, he's a good one.
He's a friend of the program,
pal.
So of course. I wish I followed Kluwe, and I have to figure out a way to get him into the 299 because he should be in there. He's an Orange County guy. Went to Los Alamitos High School.
You keep a tight 299?
A tight 299.
Crabtree. By the way, let me just, if I can self-promote something. I yesterday was in a car with Michael Crabtree, the sports car. I drive around. It's the world's first mobile sports talk show. Crabtree jumped in with me, and I got a little lost on the streets of Culver City. And he's a good Twitter follow, but I meant to apologize to him on Twitter. I legitimately got lost driving around the streets, and I was 8 minutes late. And when I got back here, boy, people were very upset with me because I threw off his schedule. Because like Dez Bryant, these guys, when they come over here, they're on, you know, four or five different things over the course of the day. My being late with Michael Crabtree threw everything off.
Thankfully, you don't have a reputation for being late.
I don't
so
like
people
that.
Are very,
that's an overstated
they're
reputation.
They're very apologetic and very
I
understanding.
I don't like it.
On the rare occasion that it does happen. What about Bill Burr? I like following him
on
Twitter.
I know you love Bill Burr. All right, he's good.
Can I say John Fugel sang?
Yeah, he's funny.
Are you going to get mad?
About, why would I get mad about Fugel saying
he's funny?
Funny. I like Damien Fahey as well. He's among funny guys. He's a funny guy.
Very funny. How about Coffee Dad? Follow him?
I don't know that.
He's a guy that just tweets every couple of days that he's making coffee. And then every couple of weeks, he'll drop in a line like, I miss my son so much.
If you guys ever want to follow this, George Wallace, if you're familiar with the comedian George Wallace.
Sure.
He's a headliner.
Old timer, though, right?
Yeah. He's very famous for posting his shout outs.
Hmm.
It's something he does with great regularity. He does shout
outs. George Wallace does a lot of shout outs, you say. Where have I heard that before, Black Tie?
Oh, please. That's not even a question.
That's not an answer, is what that isn't. That's just playing a drop that has loosely sounds like a response. But. Hanzus, how say you? Anybody of note that we need to follow?
Chrissy Teigen is actually pretty good.
Really?
Which is surprising.
The supermodel.
Very
she's
smart
with John Legend.
And funny, and
I've met
like
her.
A nasty tongue on her.
I've met her a few times with shooting some stuff for that Sports Illustrated cover thing. Yeah, she is delightful. You know who else among those supermodels has a gangbusters personality? Brooklyn Decker.
Yes.
Great sense of humor. Very funny woman.
I remember before she even made it big, she used to do this interesting thing on SI.com with Dr. Z, the famous football writer, where they would be, you know, going back and forth about football stuff. She was like 17 or 18, and now she's huge. But my favorite football feed, which is now, I think, defunct, was Arian Foster, the most ponderous Twitter feed out there.
Yeah, Ryan Clark, another one. Who's
a
got
very a smart guy, Arian Foster.
And he'll let you know.
Yep.
Well, I also feel like the, like I say, you know, Ryan Clark, but I guess it's no coincidence that the guys who are the most interesting probably get a little bit of heat from their team.
Right.
That's my assumption that they're getting a little loose here with some of the fun stuff you're saying out there. Black Tie, of course you ask this question because you feel you have the answer, so tell us what it is.
Of course, Arian Foster, definitely my NFL pick. He had an epic tweet that read, everything smells like boogers, which let it marinate, you get it. And
no, we
else?
Got it.
Who else is pretty good? Network. That's just his name. At Network. Network is spelled with it's W3RK. He just tweets about sports. Extremely funny guy. And
I like that Kim Kardashian is bellyaching about the attention she's getting for getting fat while pregnant. Now, I love the irony of this that. She makes money solely because she decided to seek attention, and now she's getting attention, but she doesn't like this attention, so she's scolding the media. How dare you give me attention that I don't desire? Give me only the attention I do desire. Get it straight. I find that delightful. And she's the most popular person ever on Twitter, right?
I don't know you for that.
Is that true, or is that Bieber who's the most popular?
I think Bieber's got the title. He's got the strap.
Either way, it makes me sad.
Oh, Bieber owns Twitter. They had to change the rules of trending topics for Justin Bieber.
All right, Black Tie. Next on the blacklist.
Oh, wait. I have a new Twitter follower who I'm going to have to start following is Zoltan Mesko, the punter for the Patriots.
Zoltan.
Oh, yeah.
Zoltan. It's great.
Is Zoltan or Zoltan? We got this. We talked to him at Universal Studios.
Are you going to ask me how to pronounce a man's name that sounds weird already? I don't know.
Because he did tell me, and now I feel bad. But, if you want to check it out, it's on the blogs.nfl.com. I imagine what the real world would look like if we cast NFL players.
Hmm.
And I had him as one because I wanted one wacky foreigner. So I felt like, oh, it'd be cool to have him in there. And because like I said, Black Tie and I met him at Universal Studios. He's a great guy. We're trying to get him on the podcast. And so, so he just started following me. I'm going to follow him. He's now part of the 299.
So follow that one. And I always he's gone silent, but Anonymous New York Jet.
Oh,
Anonymous
no.
NY Jet says some funny stuff about the sorry state of his football team, but he's anonymous, so you don't know who he is. All right, Black Tie, next on the list.
All right, speaking of Twitter, Neil Dutton, our usual listener.
Sure.
You know, he's more or less a producer at this point. He's
right.
Part of the team now. He always pushes content. His question is...
Yeah, he might take over the first string role of somebody behind the glass, too.
Hey, he's totally welcome. I need to take a vacation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple days, yeah.
He asks, with the Dolphins changing logos, what other NFL logos would the guys like to see change? Hashtag DFB.
Well, who cares what anybody else thinks, but the uniform monitor now.
I would say it's the Patriots because they need to go back. You're asking the uniform monitor.
I don't like that.
Get rid of
That's phony, and everyone knows it, and no one likes when you try to be the uniform monitor.
People ask for it.
I would like you to look under this console and see if your dignity's under there, because I think you're better than this, Adam. I agree. The Patriots need Pat Patriot, of course. That's the one that they should go back to. You know, when you see a uniform that you've pined to see for a long time and it gets brought back, you're happy. The New York Jets, for instance, with the white hats that the Joe Namath era, then they bring it back finally after whatever 15, 20 years with the green hats, mm-hmm. with the sleeker, more modern looking Jets. Now I pine to see that as their alternate. I'd love to see the Jets come out in their 80s green.
I was actually, when the story broke on the Around the League blog that NFL.com had accidentally leaked the Dolphins logo. I looked at the screen grab and then I saw the Jet logo, and it's funny. I thought the same thing, is that I was so happy when they went back to the original logo back in, it was 98. But now, it looks a little stale to me, but maybe that's just because
I'm
so used to
it. No, as long as they just mix in the old one. Don't want it. You don't want that. Some people one of the craziest ones is when people talk about the Phil Sims, Jeff Hostetler, LT era Giants, that block lettering Giants. The NY, the lowercase NY is infinitely cooler. True?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I don't understand people who like that unless you grew up in that era and so you have some nostalgic connection.
The Giants
didn't
totally eliminate that either. They do keep it. You'll see it in their press releases and occasionally in some of their different things that they do. So the Jets, maybe they should do that, bring back the old jet liner thing.
What about
anytime they use the phrase, we wanted to make it more modern, don't do that.
It never, that's so
it
true.
Never works.
You're absolutely right. What about, I'd like to see the Bengals, this is a controversial one, I'd like to see them get rid of the tiger stripes in favor of just the Bengals, the word in block letters, Bengals. I think that looks cool. Too much with the tie. All right, we get it. The Vikings have horns, and the Rams have their horns, and the Eagles have their wings. This is too far. The animal print on the hat doesn't work for me.
I like it on the helmet. I don't like it all over the uniform.
No, that's the opposite. Where I would do, I say go Bengals on the hat, and then just mix it in just subtle ways. Just little striping on the arm, maybe on the side of the pants. It has that look to it, kind of like the San Diego Chargers. They have the bolt on their pants, but they go too far by putting another stripe off of it. It should just be the lightning bolt.
Of course.
All right, this is an audio cast, and when you talk uniforms, some of these particulars get lost on the untrained eye, which obviously I have. Now, Hanzeus, why are you gesturing the black tie like you're leaving?
Well, it's time for me to go.
No, ask one more blacklist question, and then you can go.
Okay. Just to wrap it up on the logos. The only teams with footballs, in their logos for some reason are the Bucks and the Jets. I enter the Seahawks. They should change their logos. A sexy deep ball high up in the air with the Seahawk looking up at it, so you can see the height of the ball.
You're getting weirder and weirder, Black Tie.
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep ball.
Is it possible that we'll ever do a podcast again where that doesn't happen? I mean, at this point, I'd rather hear Rank do a Dieter Brock drop.
Ooh. No, that doesn't count.
One more question. You're not the arbiter of if it counts. That's
Rank,
the Dieter Brock
drop.
If
I did that, Rank would be like, oh, no, you can't. That doesn't fly. So that doesn't count. All right.
Well, I've always deferred to our new counter.
Also,
quickly, last question for Zeus.
Also, the Broncos should go back to what they wore in the 60s when they wore that. They had an orange hat with a it's very stylized-looking cowboy on the back of a Bronco. Continue.
All right, I'm not even going to set this one up. really quick, Damashek, the guy in the AT&T Kids commercials, speed is better, all that, size is better, all that jazz.
Like sitting in a preschool
yep,
kind of thing.
With the kids, yep. Is he allowed in your household?
Yeah, I have a. It's a nasty trend of commercials with people featuring people that are not welcome in my home, and yet they're in my home because they're on the TV. He's fine with me. He seems pretty funny.
Even
pretty
though he
dry.
Hangs out, seems to hang out a lot with kids. Doesn't bother you?
Oh, stop it. I like it. The only thing I resent is as a Kimmelphile, I will give credit to Kimmel as the guy who I first saw doing that. Although Letterman did it pretty well back in the 80s. Does anybody remember when he did a kid show? One episode, you just turned it on one night, and he was doing a kid show, the David Letterman's kid. It's fantastic. I wonder if it's on YouTube. Kimmel, though, is really the master of that in this era. But that guy's very funny. Yes, he's welcome. Who's not, though, is in the new beer commercial. The two people on the blind date, the hipster with the beard.
Oh, my gosh. I hate
and
them.
And the girl with the short hair.
Oh.
They're a little bit too self-aware. Like, oh, you look like your profile picture.
Here's to you looking like your profile. Here's to you not having a mustache.
Look, if this went terribly, my friends are back there to pull me away. Oh, those are my friends there.
Hitting on your friends.
Like,
I hate
here we go. And they toast each other. Yeah, guess what? They're not welcome. I don't want to go on a date with either one of them.
You guys totally reenacted the whole deal.
Thank you.
Not a good job.
Is that it?
You know why? Because they ran it every 20 seconds during the NCAA tournament.
I want to ask one more thing, and then we'll let Hanzoos go.
Can we just wrap the show?
I guess we could.
Yes, thank you.
I want to say this, though. I'm taking a lot of heat for being out on the streets with Michael Crabtree talking about this, that, and the other. We were talking about some important things. We were getting to the bottom of it. And apparently I was 8 minutes late, but I got all the slings and arrows. Somehow, Black Tie, you got off, because when you, after that, Michael Crabtree, you sat down with him, and I heard that you ran long with him. How say you to those charges?
We were having a fun conversation.
It's not up to me.
It's up to him. You know, we were just hanging out, having fun conversations. I might add a few drops off that conversation. Who knows? Having a good time. Lastly, though, really quick note. You had perhaps maybe the most shameful hand-to-hand moment earlier today. You and Dez Bryant putting your hands up against Dez Bryant's palm. What was that about? We have photographic evidence of that, too.
Good. I asked for it. I might be the ticket to the NFL for me.
That was so shameful. It was like Simba, like, dipping his hands in, like, Mufasa's paw on the ground. It was terrible.
No. I think I made a point that otherwise I wouldn't have had the chance. Sometimes a smaller hand is the key to victory. I don't think you'd find a Cowboys fan that would disagree with that.
How many great movies have you referenced and asked Black Tie if you've seen and he's not seen? It's somewhere close to 100.
All. I mean, it's all movies made in the 70s.
He's quoting The Lion King almost word for word.
Well, first of all, The Lion King is the greatest thing ever made, first of all. Let's end that there and there. But
all right.
Let's move on.
Hard to take you seriously. It's a fine, cute picture.
No, it's the greatest thing ever made.
It's not the best animated picture of the last 20
years. It's
the best animated. It's at least behind Finding Nemo. The best animated movie is The Incredibles. The Incredibles is the best of the last 20 years. Hanzoos, quickly, come up with a movie, and don't answer, Black Tie. Quickly, come up with a movie that is a good movie, and we'll see if he's seen it.
All right, I got it.
Okay, go ahead. What is it?
Shawshank Redemption.
Don't answer yet. Rank, do you
think I have seen Shawshank.
How clear could I be about I had to jump in on that one.
Please fire
All right, I've got a new one.
Do you not have the pull to fire
Hanzoos, do you think Black Tie has seen Goodfellas?
Yes, I do.
Rank.
No.
I'm going to say...
Oh, wait, I was thinking Casino. You know, I'm going to go with my answer.
I'm going to go with no.
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 Ah!
Oh my God!
Come
on, man!
And Lion King's your favorite movie of all time?
Of all time, yes.
What's second?
Oh, that's a good question. Oof, I have to think about that one. Good. Get back to me on that one.
All right, we will. We absolutely will. Sorry.
Next episode.
Sorry, everybody out there in the big blue marble, but this—that's what they call a teaser. That's how we keep them coming back for more with juicy tidbits like that. Will Black Tie find a second movie that he enjoyed beside an animated picture dedicated to kids? Find out on the next Dave Damashek football program. All right, listen. Short though the time was with Dez Bryant, I found him positively delightful. And so thanks to him, and thanks to you, Dan Hanzoos, continued success around the league.
Thank you,
Dave. We're looking forward to your upcoming series, book reviews, NFL books that you're going to be reviewing. Rank.
Is that for real?
Yes, yeah. It's happening.
It's going to be fun. Rank, how say you? What do you have coming up?
Look for my video on Fan Pass where I go head-to-head with Delanie Walker as we play a little Madden.
Tennessee Titans.
Or he just signed a deal with the Tennessee Titans, and we went in and we traded him to the Titans so we
could
play with them. Yeah,
I like that. Be on the lookout. We have a new sports car coming up. I think it'll be with Thomas DeCoux of the Atlanta Falcons. Had fun with him. We've done one with Terrence Newman. Like I say, we have one with Michael Crabtree coming up. Thanks to everybody who's watched the NFL. A 250,000 people have looked at that. You can dig that up. Again, NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K, if you want to take a look at that. And I suppose we can wrap it up there, Black Tie. You have anything you want to promote?
Just make sure to keep tweeting the show with #DDFP.
All right, listen, we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.